always on any Lord's Day, but it's an especially beautiful Lord's Day with the sun being out. Hadn't seen the sun in a while, so it's that is such a blessing. If you're visiting with us, we are honored to have you. If you're looking for a church home, we pray that you would consider us. We strive to work together to serve the Lord and follow His word. If you have any questions about anything that we say or do, please ask us to get with a member here, and we'll do our best to give you an answer from God's word. If you'll turn in 2 Kings chapter 22, we'll start there in just a second. One thing that I'm very interested in, very fascinated in, is great leaders. How they lead, what they do to lead, what is effective for them, why they lead. Another thing that I'm passionate about is working with and talking to young people, which I'm blessed to get to do on a daily basis. So today, I want to meld those two ideas of leadership and young people. So today's lesson is going to be mostly geared towards young people, but I think that we'll find those of us that are older will gain something from it as well. You know, when you're younger, especially when it comes to leadership and especially spiritual leadership, you think, how am I going to have any influence on somebody? What do I know? What experiences do I have that command respect and for those to follow me? And that's tough for young people. But we have a very good example of an unlikely leader for God. Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Think about that for a second. 8 years old. That means Lindy here would be in her fourth year of rule over the country. So in American terms, she served her first term and she's up for re-election. Joel would be in his 10th year of rule. He'd have a full decade under his belt. We would have a full decade under Joel's leadership. I would have 25 plus years as leader, a quarter century. All those are very scary scenarios, by the way. But that's what Josiah had. At 8 years old, he is the king, the ruler, and the one that they're looking to. You know, when you're a king, your schedule doesn't have much time for riding bikes and building forts and swimming in the lake. You have obligations. You have duties. We see a lot of these child stars who grow up in the spotlight. And when they become adults, they're not very well adjusted. They never had a childhood. And Josiah, to some extent, didn't have one either. He certainly didn't have a good example of what a king was. He didn't have a good example of as a father. And he didn't have good examples around him in his family. Yet through all of this, without an example, Josiah was a leader for God. And we're going to see a little bit today about the traits that made him an effective leader for God. So young people, pay very close attention today as we look at the traits that Josiah had. Things that you can strive to have to be a leader for God as well. Turn with me in 2 Kings chapter 22. Let's look in verse 19. It says, "Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord." So some leadership traits that Josiah had. The first one, Josiah had an honest heart. We see that here. We also see that he sought God from an early age. Flip over to 2 Chronicles in chapter 34. 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 3 says, "For in the eighth year of his reign," we know from 2 Kings that his reign started as an eight-year-old, so he's 16 here. "In the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David." You know, this is kind of the time when we start becoming an independent thinker. And really, it starts much earlier. We start becoming independent thinkers as young kids. We start deciding what clothes we're going to wear. That's why you end up with Superman capes and basketball shorts and capes at Walmart. And you decide to, you can feed yourself and what you want to eat. You start doing chores on your own. But 16, those later teenage years is when you start thinking for yourself independently on a different level. You start thinking for yourself politically, when in this climate and everyone has an opinion on politics, you start developing your own thoughts and ideas on that. Philosophically, you start having your own thoughts and ideas and moral decisions. And spiritually, you start having your own ideas and have spiritual independence. And sometimes as young people, we think, man, this is easy. I got this figured out. I don't need their old tired ideas. I don't need somebody telling me what to do and how to do it all the time. We start thinking how smart we are and how good our ideas are and that we can do this. And sometimes we just do it to tend to rebel. And you know what? Maybe Josiah followed God because he was rebelling, which wouldn't have been a bad thing, by the way, because he didn't have much of an example from his parents. But we start getting those thoughts. Josiah was king of a nation. He had every opportunity to be the epitome of the know-it-all teenager. And spiritual independence from that list, young people, that's the one that terrifies parents. That's the one that terrifies me, and I'm a ways away from that as a parent. And parents and older people, if I would venture to guess, that's the one that scares God for us, that we have our own spiritual independence. And I can tell you that we all want and need to be spiritually independent. Young people, you need to think for yourselves in a spiritual sense. That's not a bad thing. But we need to be ready. We need to be humble. We need to have honest hearts like Josiah had. Another reason we know that Josiah had an honest heart, he didn't use familial excuses or reasoning. He didn't use what his family had done for why he had done things. Flip back in 2 Kings to chapter 21, and in verse 2, talking about his grandfather Manasseh, it says, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." Drop down to verse 16. Now it's talking still about Manasseh. "Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin by which he made Judah sin and doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, all that he did and all the sin he had committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Manasseh rested with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house in the garden of Uzzah. Then his son Amon reigned in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Heres of Jotba, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways of his father had walked, and he served the idols that his father had served, and he worshipped them." This is Josiah's example. In his short life of 8 years, this is who he had seen rule. His grandfather and his father who did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet he didn't use that. He didn't use that excuse of, "This is the way my family did it." And we hear people do that a lot. You know, you'll get the argument from time to time from people saying, "Oh, are you saying my daddy's in hell because he worshipped this way?" It's a very emotional topic. And as it should be, our family is an emotional topic. But he didn't do that. And young people, we all need to understand one very, very important thing. No one is perfect, not even our parents. And we need to keep that in mind when we're talking about serving God and doing His will. We're going to make mistakes. We can all fall away from God and not do what He asks if we're not careful, if we're not vigilant in studying the Bible. Parents, this is why it's very important that we serve God every day and that we set that example. Most importantly for our own salvation, but almost as important so our kids aren't confused. And they don't have this struggle of trying to be loyal to us and trying to do what God says. They need to be harmonious. It's important that we acknowledge as parents and older people when we do mess up. And that we ask for forgiveness and that we make that right. How else are our kids going to learn to say they're wrong and to make changes in their lives? Josiah had an honest heart. He didn't use his family as an excuse to not serve God. We can also see that he had an honest heart because he wanted to please God. He didn't say, "I'm going to worship God the way I want to worship God." He did it God's way. Look over in chapter 23 again of 2 Kings in verse 21. It says, "Then the king commanded all the people, saying, 'Keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant.'" He wanted them to keep that Passover exactly as God had said. You know, we live in a material world where physical things matter. Those pressures matter. And the outside influences that we have are a big part of our day-to-day lives. We also live in this very egotistical world where we all have these great ideas and where our opinions matter. Maybe more now, more than ever in history, we think our opinions matter. And we're social media out to everybody and telling everybody how wonderful ideas we have or opinions and chiming in thinking that people care about that. You know, when I first started coaching, I would take losses hard. And I would sit around after the game or the next day with other coaches, and we'd be diagramming, well, we could have done it this way, or should have called that play in that instance, or maybe we should have called a timeout right there and just got on the same page, and we're stewing over this. And one of the veteran coaches who was my boss at the time, he would, I guess, get fed up with listening to us, and he'd say, guys, did you know there are 2 billion Chinamen who don't know or care that you played last night? There's nothing like a little dose of perspective to rain on your pity party parade, but more importantly, to let you know it's not about you. Not everything that's going on is about you. Josiah knew that. He was a young, wealthy ruler of a nation. He had every right and more ability than we can ever imagine to carry out his opinions and his ideas and to force those on other people. He could have done that. That was the example that had been given to him. But he didn't do that. He grew up worshiping a completely different way than what God had intended or wanted. And he didn't fight that. He didn't make concessions. And we'll see in the reading that the people had been doing that for years, integrating these idols into what they were already doing and somehow justifying that and thinking that that was okay. But he didn't do that. He didn't say things are different than in centuries past and God wrote this a long time ago. Times have changed. It's a different world we live in. We need to be more accepting. He did exactly what God wanted. So we can see that Josiah had an honest heart in that instance. He wanted to please God. The next trait about Josiah that I'd like to look at with you this morning is that Josiah knew that he didn't have all the answers. Great leaders lean on others so that they can make the best and most informed decisions. You know, there's a book about President Lincoln and his first cabinet. And he has appointed all these men to his cabinet who were his rivals in his own party and from all across the country. He knew he wasn't an expert on everything, and he knew he didn't know every area of the country. So he leaned on these men for their expertise. He would take their advice and make an informed decision. It didn't mean that he did exactly what they said, but he was going to listen to them and make an informed decision. Josiah knew he didn't have all the answers either, and he sought out experts to help him to make an informed decision. We see this first in that he accepted advice from the high priest. Look in chapter 22 and verse 8. It says, then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Hilkiah said, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Well, imagine that. Of all the places that it could have been. Josiah had a knowledge of God. He had sent them to get the temple cleaned up and get it fixed up. There was a working knowledge in Judah at the time of God, but he didn't have an understanding of God. And the high priest even was ignorant on God's law since it says that he had just found it. But when Josiah heard, when he got that, he didn't cast out the high priest. He didn't have him put to death. He listened. He knew he didn't have all the answers. Another way that we know Josiah knew he didn't have all the answers is that he looked back to his country's great king. Look in 2 Chronicles again, in chapter 34. Starting in verse 2, it says, and he set the high priests in their duties and encouraged them. Oh, I'm sorry, that was 35. Chapter 34. It says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And why did he do that? Why did he seek the God of his father David? Because you know what Judah did know about. They may have forgotten God and they may have forgotten God's law, but they didn't forget that they were once a powerful nation, did they? They didn't forget that they once were the superpower of the world. And Josiah knew that. So what did he do? He looked back to where that started and the great kings of the past, and he wanted to be like David. He wanted to do what David did. That's no different from what we do. If there's something we're interested in or something that we aspire to do, we're going to look to those who are very successful. If I aspired to be a great painter, I might study, you know, Leonardo da Vinci's paintings or Claude Monet's paintings. If I wanted to be a great composer of music, I might study Beethoven or Mozart. And Josiah was doing the same thing. He looked back to the great king when they had been at their highest of power. So he wanted to see what David had done. He knew he didn't have all the answers, and that's what he wanted to be, was a great king and great ruler. We also know that Josiah knew he didn't have all the answers because he listened to God's word. Josiah, upon hearing the law, he could have said, this is very damaging to my rule, to what we've been doing for years, to my family. And he could have ignored it. He could have gotten rid of it. He could have had it buried again to where they didn't have that knowledge. But he didn't do that. Think about what he was doing and telling all his subjects that the way of life and how we've been worshiping these idols that you have as part of your life that you think are deity or at the very least are a daily part of your life, all those are wrong. It's false. That'd be like somebody coming in here and saying, you can no longer have a Bible. You can no longer read the Bible. You can't pray. That's out of your life. How would that shake our world up? It was no different for these people with their idols. But Josiah listened to God's word. He knew that it was the absolute and final say. It didn't matter what they had been doing or what his desires were or what the people's desires were. We also know that Josiah knew that he didn't know it all, know everything, because Josiah listened to the prophetess Huldah. Look in chapter 22 and verse 14. It says, so Hilkiah the priest, Ahiakim, Akbar, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harus, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, and all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this matter, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I have also heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. So he hears this words from Huldah the prophetess, and I find that very interesting for several reasons. First, let's think of the time period that we're talking about in history. He's hearing this from a woman who weren't viewed as equals, who didn't have places of authority, and she's telling him that his rule is wrong, your way of life is wrong, that your ancestors were wrong. And second, I can't imagine how difficult that it was hearing this advice. And first, it's surprising that Huldah's still alive. Being a prophetess in the kingdom at this time when they're not following God, isn't that pretty impressive that she's still around to give this advice? But he takes it. He humbles himself. He listens to this prophetess, this woman, because he knew he didn't have the answers. In fact, he had sent these men to seek her out. He was seeking expert advice in this area. And we need to do that. Young people, we need to seek out advice. We need to seek those who have more wisdom than we do. The last trait of Josiah that I want to look at is Josiah was a man of action, which made him a great leader for God. Knowing that you don't have all the answers and taking advice from others, that's one thing. But following through with that and seeing it out is quite another. Josiah didn't hide this to make himself or his parents or his grandparents appear righteous or noble. He took immediate action upon hearing that what they were doing wasn't right. He didn't sit back and stew on it. He didn't sit back and think, well, what do I need to do? He took immediate action. And we can see that in chapter 23. In verse 1, it says, "Now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. Then the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and with all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord." Let's be very clear on what Josiah's doing right now. He's gathered everyone of power, everyone of influence, and everyone in Jerusalem together to tell them, "We're all wrong. I am wrong." How scary did that have to be? How embarrassing do you think that was? And humiliating to admit to all your subjects that I've led you in a wrong direction. We haven't been living right. And he was given a message that maybe they didn't want to hear. And they're all here. What if they had revolted? That thought had to cross his mind. But he had the courage to stand up and do that. From a young man to stand up and do that. A young man who had no doubt been trying to prove that he belonged for a very long time. Think about how difficult that was as an 8-year-old telling others what to do and second-guessing all the time. Are they really listening to me because they value my opinion? Or are they just listening to me because they don't have any other choice? And trying to validate yourself for years. Yet Josiah didn't let any of that concern him. He took immediate action. He also took action by making a covenant with God. Drop down to the next verse. "Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people took a stand for the covenant." Josiah stands up and makes a promise to God to do all his commandments with all his heart and soul. What great passion Josiah must have spoken with that day. There is no way that he stood up there sheepish and that he read just very monotone. The man who, upon hearing the law, tore his clothes and sent people out to find experts. He addressed these people with that same passion this day. And upon hearing all of that, they followed God. How powerful is our God and his word, most importantly in this passage? And we have that same ability today to preach our Creator's powerful word. Look at the end of verse 3 again. "All the people took a stand for the covenant." All of them. Josiah saw an opportunity as a leader to get his people back in a right relationship with God, and he didn't hesitate. He took it. What a great example for young people. Another way that we see Josiah was a man of action is he drove out sinful men. Look in chapter 23. Look in verse 4. It says, "And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, the priests of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal and Asherah and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside heaven in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem. And those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook of Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook of Kidron, and ground it to ashes and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for their wooden images. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba. Also he broke down the high places at the gates, which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire of Molech. Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the court, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down and pulverized there, and he threw their dust into the brook of Kidron. Then the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashereth, the abomination of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he broke it in pieces, the sacred pillars, and cut down the wooden images, and filled the places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel in the high place, which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made both the altar and the high place, he broke down. And he burned the high place and crushed it to powder and burned the wooden image. As Josiah turned, he saw the tombs that were there on the mountain. And he sent and took the bones of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. We see all these things that Josiah did. He didn't just sit idly by. He went and drove these sinful men out. All these sinful practices he got rid of. It would have been great to have everyone that you had just addressed affirm the covenant that you just made and all be on the same page. And it would have been easy as a leader to say, okay, that's enough for today. We're on the right foot. Let's see if this keeps up and then we'll take the next step. He didn't do that. He didn't wait. He didn't wait to see if this was an idea that was going to stick, if their love for God was going to stick. He went and took action immediately to drive all this out. We can't get rid of sin in small doses. He didn't do that. He got rid of it completely. Another thing he did was he reinstated God as ruler of his own life and in the land. Look in 2 Kings 23:21-23. It says, then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as is written in the book of the covenant. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of the king of Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. Drop down to 25. Now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. Josiah made God ruler of his own life. He turned his rule over to God, and he turned his nation over to God. What great action to take. And the last thing I want to look at is Josiah being a man of action, as he encouraged those who were working for God. Look in 2 Chronicles 35. In verse 1, it says, now Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their duties and encouraged them for their service of the house of the Lord. Josiah encouraged those who were serving God. He wanted to recognize their efforts and tell them, this is important. And he made it a point to let them know that it was important. What a great action that we can take, reassuring those around us and letting them know that they're doing a good job and they're doing a good work. Josiah came from an 8-year-old with no example of how to be a good king or even a good person. And he became a great leader for God and the last righteous king that they would see. So what leaderships do we need to have if we want to be a leader for God? Well, young people, I'd submit to you that we need to look to Josiah. We too must have an honest heart. We must continue to seek God daily. If we are to be leaders for God, we must first be great followers of God. This means that we have to let His will be done and seen through us and in our actions. We have to follow God no matter what. You know, great leaders, if you really study them, they're servants. They ask what they can do, how can I help, and they're serving their people. So great leaders, it's not about them. If any followers, it's obviously not about them. So what's the common theme? It's not about us. Young people, we would do well to remember that. Another thing we can do to have an honest heart is not use my family believes. We need to always use God's word says. We are striving to be leaders for God, not our family name. It's painful when those close to us don't follow God. And it's painful when we see people make concessions in their service to God or in their worship of God. We're not going to write them off. We're going to continue to pray for them. But we serve God first and foremost. Josiah wasn't concerned with what his family did, and he wasn't concerned with keeping them in good standing with the people. He was worried about doing God's will, and we must be as well. We must have an honest heart because we must seek to please God. Josiah could have spent a lifetime pleasing himself, and the kings before him had done that. He had the means to do that. He had the authority to do that. He could have done whatever he wanted, not recognized any greater power or authority, but he humbled himself to God. We're not in the same position as Josiah since we aren't kings. We don't have that authority. We don't have that power, but we have that same choice. We can serve ourselves. We can please ourselves for a lifetime. We can bend to our fleshly desires. But leading it's not about us. It's about serving God. And we need to do that. We need to be seeking to please God. The next trait we need to have is we need to know that we don't have all the answers. Every great leader knows that fact. The minute we operate as one who has it all figured out is just about the moment that we start to lose those that we are leading. Young people, just please slow down and know that fact, that you don't have all the answers. And I get to work with young people every day, very intelligent young people. There are some whose IQs are very high. Their intelligence level is very high. But young people, intelligence does not trump life experience, ever. Know that you don't have all the answers. Seek help from those who can give godly advice. Josiah sought a high priest and a prophetess to help him steer himself and his country back in a right direction. We need to be doing the same. Those of us who are older, we need to be willing to give that advice. We need to be honored when somebody younger than us comes and asks us for advice and for help. And we need to be willing to give that help and give that advice. Young people, and I think we have young people who do an outstanding job with this. We need to do a good job of getting out of our comfort zone and our realm of peer influence and get to know older people. So that when that time comes, young people, and it will come, when you need help, when you need advice, that you're comfortable going to these people and asking for that help and asking for that advice. We need to be searching for those who are seeking righteousness. Who do we desire to be around, young people? Are we desiring to be around people who are trying to serve God? Our circle of influence is very important, and it's important to our service to God and our leadership for God. If we're going to lead others to God, we must be strengthened by those who are of like mind. Those who can help us get to heaven. We need to know we don't have all the answers by thirsting for God's word. We can be a leader for God, but we can't be a leader for God when we don't know God. This book is how we get to know God. This is how we get to know the creator of the universe and the ruler of our life. We need to be seeking out its wisdom on a daily basis. We must also be people of action. Josiah can never be accused of somebody who sat idly by, can he? Somebody who heard and didn't follow through. Like all great leaders, Josiah didn't say, "That's not my job. You priests, y'all go handle that." He went with those men. It says he returned to Jerusalem after all of this, meaning he went out. He went so far he dug up bones of dead men and burned them on an altar. He was committed. He was going to drive this out. A leader doesn't simply give orders. A leader works beside those that he's working with. And he didn't accomplish all this in a day. He started by hearing God's word, letting it affect him, changing his heart, and then he told others and took action. Take that first step. We need to be people of action, young people, by telling others the good news that we found in God's word. We need to be as convicted as Josiah was. He went out and let everyone know God's word. Now, young people, we don't have the ability or the power to call all of Lindell together to preach God's word to them. We don't have that. But we're not expected to do that. But we do have opportunities every single day with those that we're around that we could have a conversation with, ask questions with. We also need to drive out sinful influences in our own lives. We can't have any traces of our sinful past if we're going to be people of action. We need to do exactly what Josiah did. He wasn't partly committed. He wasn't mostly committed. He was all the way committed. Sometimes that's going to mean painful losses with friendships. Sometimes that's going to mean daily routines or things that we like that we no longer get to partake in. Maybe it's entertainment that we're involved in or music that we listen to, but we need to drive out anything that is a sinful influence in our lives. And just like Josiah, we don't do this in small doses. Well, I got rid of this. That's enough for today. It's got to be completely gone, and we can't turn back to it. We need to daily make God the ruler of our lives. As Chris says, we announce our King first thing in the morning. Today is yours, Lord, and you are the ruler of my life. And young people, do you know we're not announcing that for God's sake? It is an absolute certainty that God is ruler of all. He doesn't need our affirmation in that. That affirmation's for us, to remind ourselves that God's in control, not me. And we need to make that acknowledgement every day. And lastly, we need to encourage each other. Tell people when you're encouraged by them. Tell them that you're happy when they're here, that it strengthens you, or how they help you to be a better Christian. That's something we need to do as older people as well. And it doesn't have to be grand gestures, you know, a pat on the back, a handwritten note. All that stuff goes a long way. Being a leader for God is an important job. It's an important job for all of us. But we can't be a leader for God if we don't have a relationship with God. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God of a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to be baptized into Christ and put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. If you've been baptized, but you haven't been a leader for God, or you haven't been even a great follower of God, that needs to be corrected as well. Please come at this time. Let us pray for you, play with you as we stand and sing.